Welcome back, everyone. We are on pages 10 and 11 of our magazine. I hope you all have a copy of it. And we're talking about the crisis within. And Ruth, I'm so glad you and Pam are here with us right now to be on the program with us.
I'm very glad to be here. As some of you know, I am a mother. So when I think about parenting and children, it always makes me think of my relationship with my daughter. And one thing that I learned yesterday in our lesson was that positive relationships can really help kids cope with stress.
Well, Ruth, I think you already knew that because you've already done a lot to help your daughter have a lot of positive relationships.
Yes, but I can see some of the outbursts she has when she's dealing with stress. Like a lot of the students here, if there's too many exams or too much homework in one week, sometimes she just breaks down and cries because she's feeling the stress of not having enough time to get it done.
Can you use your sense of humor to say, well?
Yes, I can do that, and I do. I try to make her laugh, and it does help a lot.
Now, Pam, have you found out some of these things as a mother?
Yes, as a mother, I too am a mother. I have grown daughters and I have a granddaughter now, actually. But I also thought about this in terms of my husband. My husband is a chaplain. He helps people in the hospital who are going through a crisis. If they're in the hospital, they are definitely going through some type of crisis, a health crisis usually. But he also helps counsel people who might be experiencing a financial crisis or a family crisis of some sort.
Well, those things, you know, affect the children, not just the parents,
right? That's right.
And if your father or mother is in the hospital, I think that could be a stressful thing for a child. They might worry about them, too. What do you think?
Well, that's exactly right, and he tries to help the family members who are there visiting the one who has been in maybe a terrible accident or who has a life-threatening disease, perhaps.
That's not easy to handle, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's crises within all of us, but it's how we handle them. We have these traumas in our lives. But children have them, too. You can say, well, they're too little, they don't know. But they do.
They do know, and oftentimes, if they only hear little bits and pieces, they create in their mind something that's even worse than reality. So that's why it's important to have that positive relationship with parents, so parents can explain things to kids in an age-appropriate way to help them reduce this stress.
Well, and if parents are shouting at each other and fighting, and even if the kids are in bed, they might hear that in the next room, and it affects them. So I think parents have to be careful. They don't bring that stress on in their children.
Right. I agree, Doris. I think maybe in the past, I think we know now more about how children are affected by the different things that parents are going through. I think in the past, we just assumed if a kid acted out or if they misbehaved, it was just because they were naughty. Now I think we know enough, and there's enough research to help us realize there's often something within, the crisis within the child. Something is going on that's causing them to feel a lot of stress and to act in this way.
Right. We talked about the word outburst yesterday, mm-hmm. meaning when it just all of a sudden comes out in a very strong way because something has triggered it.
Right. So yesterday we talked about the way that we can help children cope with stress and have this resilience that they can come back again from something terrible that happened. Could be anything, but then they can get over it and not keep thinking of it, let it bother them their whole life.
Right, being able to bounce back or being able to go on with your life and not be stuck in the past with that one terrible crisis.
That's right, and we talked about the word that's called being resilient.
Right. And they have to de-escalate, make that less instead of add to it and escalate, right?
Exactly.
Well, those are some of the things we talked about yesterday. Today we're going to start on page 11. So if you have your magazine, if you're driving a car, don't look at the magazine. But if you are at home, whoever you are, get your magazine out or look at your mobile website and hear today's program, right?
That's right.
And we're going to start on page 11. There's just a little paragraph to start with. This is very important, though, because it talks about starting before birth. So let's read that one.
Start before birth. Babies born to depressed or stressed mothers are less likely to receive the nurturing they need. And that hurts brain development when it's needed most. It's why Cynthia Rogers, a psychiatrist and researcher with Washington University School of Medicine, created a program at Barnes Jewish and St. Louis Children's Hospitals that screens new mothers for depression.
Babies born to depressed or stressed mothers are less likely to receive the nurturing they need. So in other words, even before birth, when the baby is still in the womb, if the mother is depressed or stressed, those hormones will affect the baby's development. Then when the baby's actually born, maybe the parent or the mother doesn't pay as much attention to the baby as she otherwise should.
That's right. And there are many reasons why a mother might be depressed. We know that postpartum disease, the postpartum syndrome, I think, is something that, what did you say, Ruth, about 40% of mothers are born
That'll
with?
That'll be coming up in the next paragraph, right?
But that's something that affects their emotions. So if they are feeling emotionally stressed, they can't give the child the nurturing attention that it needs.
Well, they often say, you know, like when a person gets pregnant, they say, you have to keep cheerful. And you know, sometimes people sing little songs or talk to the baby, like, and they think they don't know it. But if the mother is in a good mood, it makes a big difference.
That's
if the mother is stressed, then that stress signal goes to that baby, and you're carrying around someone that you're harming them before they're even born.
That's right, and these kinds of things affect brain development when it's needed most. When the baby is in the womb, the brain is developing. The first year after the baby's born, the brain develops very, very quickly, and they need a lot of nurturing, a lot of care, both physical and emotional.
You know, without a good brain, you can't get along well in this world, and brain development is so important, and most of that takes place before the baby is born or up till they're 5 years old. And so that's when you need to spend all the money and the time on the kids, not when they get 15.
That's right. And so much new research is proving how much it is important that the mother is emotionally healthy. And so we see that this psychiatrist, Cynthia Rogers, is screening now. She's screening new mothers for depression to find out if they have depression.
Right. Because then if they do, they can treat it right away and hopefully put an end to it.
And help the mother to be more positive before the baby's born.
That's right.
So we think about how important it is when they're first born, but before they're born, as soon as the baby is conceived, it's very important for that mother to be positive and to not have depression herself.
That's right. So it's good that they're developing these programs to help mothers before their babies are born and also as soon as they are born. We talked yesterday about some of these traumas of poverty and violence. Poverty is a big stress and it can depress you. Maybe the mother's thinking, oh my goodness, this is another baby. How am I going to take care of the baby? Who's going to care for it when I have to go to work? And then they get all worried and that stress is then transmitted to the baby.
Well, Ruth, you just had one girl, and, you know, that's it. But I think of my mother, she had 8 children, and my dad sometimes wouldn't have a job because it was during the Depression time, and yet we never felt depressed because my mother always said, oh, that's okay. Well, and my dad would bring home day-old bread that he would buy for one penny each from the bakery. We had lots of bread to eat, make toast, and no matter if it was day-old, and my mother said, oh, we'll always have something to eat, and we didn't feel poor. We were poor, but we didn't feel poor. But how could my mother cope with that one child after another? Here comes another one. How are we going to feed it? But she kept a happy sense of humor, and we all felt very happy to be a family together.
Well, and Doris, we talked about this yesterday. The parents really do set the tone for the children. And I can tell in your home, your parents were able to stay positive, to stay optimistic, because the Depression was a very difficult time.
Very hard
for most people throughout America. So it could have been a very negative time for your family.
Right.
But your parents chose to be very optimistic.
Right. So I think it's very important, no matter what your situation is, to say, I'm not going to pass this on to somebody else. And you have to keep positive. So pregnant mothers have a big job keeping themselves happy, don't they?
Yes, they do. Because their whole attitude and emotional state does affect that of their baby.
Now, did you feel like that when you had your babies, it was important for you to be positive, Pam?
Yes, and I have to say, Doris, I think that if you surround yourself with a good, strong network of supportive and encouraging people, even if it's not family members, I lived away from my family when I had both of my daughters, but I was surrounded by very encouraging friends and strong church family, and that helped me get excited about the birth of my two girls before and even after.
That's really important, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I think as we're going to read next, we need to address these real needs that these mothers have so that we can help them to manage that stress and be a positive influence then for their babies.
Addressing real needs. In late October, Kianshe Clark, 22, was identified as needing help after she gave birth to her second daughter, Dakota, at Barnes Jewish Hospital. She needed to find a new place to live within the month. Social workers at the hospital referred Clark to Nurses for Newborns, a home visiting program that tracks the health of the baby and supports the mom. "We are really there to lift them up in their parenting role," said Melinda Olemiller, chief executive at Nurses for Newborns, who said about 40% of the new moms they serve test positive for depression.
Well, now here we have a real example of this. Here's talking about someone who had a need. Can you tell us more about this girl?
Yes. Kianshe Clark was only 22, and she was identified as needing help. Probably she had this screening, and they realized that she did need help after she delivered her second daughter, Dakota. She needed to find a new place to live within the month. That would be a big stress,
right?
Meaning you're in the hospital with a baby, but knowing that you're going to need a new home, and you're worried about how I'm going to find a place and how I'm going to move when I just had a baby.
Well, you know, in America, people usually go home after, what, a few days?
3 to 5 days, depending.
Right. But, of course, in Asia, they often have these places where you go for a month or something, and we don't have all that in America. You just go right home and take care of the baby.
Well, sadly, it's determined by how much the insurance will pay. Usually, if you have a regular birth, you're allowed to stay in the hospital 3 days, and if you have a kaidao, a C-section, you'll be able to stay 5.
So 3 days isn't very much, you know, as far as the Asian people are concerned. However, this lady, she not only does she have to go home, but she says, well, now where am I going to live? And I got this little baby with her second daughter. This would bring a lot of stress on the mother.
It's very stressful because one of the things expectant mothers do is to begin to make a place to bring the baby home to. You get excited about maybe fixing up the baby's room, but you just want to be sure everything is ready for that little child. Well, now she is facing having to go to a brand new place, and apparently she doesn't even know where it will be. She needed to find a new place to live.
Now, it's a good thing that there are some agencies now that help some of these people. Now, they are social workers. They see what you need in your home, and they referred her to this one, to this Nurses for Newborns. I've never heard of that, but
it's probably a local program there in St. Louis,
right,
where this is a home visiting program. So it would be nurses who would actually come to the home to visit the mom and the baby so they can track the health, meaning see how the baby's doing, whether it's gaining weight, and the relationship between the baby and the mother, and it supports the mom. It helps her realize, as you've been saying, Doris, that things aren't so bad, and, you know, we'll just deal with this challenge and just make her feel like there's hope.
That's right, and it's so we see, as Ruth has just said, she would visit the new mom in the home, wherever the mom is living with the new baby, and I'm sure she would look around and she would say, now, you know, you probably need to get a crib for the baby or something that the baby can sleep in, not in the bed with you, because that's not safe, as many young moms try to do. But there would be many practical things that the nurse would come in and look at, and she would encourage the mom and just help her know what she needs to make a safe environment for that baby.
Now, it's hard for some people to realize that there are people in that situation because a lot of people prepare everything. Mm-hmm. They buy toys and evil clothes, all kinds of things. But some people just don't have much. And for them, it is a big challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Some
yes,
of these
it is.
Poorer people. And this lady, Melinda, who was the chief executive nurse at this newborns thing, she had something to say about that, Pam.
That's right, and if this is something that I referred to earlier on, but she said that through their testing and through their observation, they've come to realize 40% of the new moms test positive for depression. And there is a term, it's a little long, it's called postpartum, postpartum. It's a type of depression new moms sometimes experience.
Now, is that just poor people, or does it happen to everybody? Who
gets everyone.
That?
Anyone can get it. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, old or young. It's just the depression that comes from the hormones. What a lot of people don't realize until they've had a baby is the tremendous number or amount of hormones that just go through your body that affect you emotionally and physically. And sometimes those don't always leave your body right away, and they can affect your mental state. So you get depressed about even having a baby because you think, oh my goodness, I can't take care of this little person.
I don't think Ruth felt that way. You were pretty excited about your little girl, weren't you?
Oh, of course, yeah. Right. But it wasn't always easy. I still remember the mornings that I would wake up in tears thinking, oh, I'm such a terrible mother.
Well, one funny experience I remember, Doris, was I was very excited. And fortunately, I didn't go through any of this depression. But I remember feeling overwhelmed one morning. I think maybe the baby was just a couple of weeks old. And I went and I hid in the closet. And my husband came looking for me. He said, why are you in the closet? I said, I just wanted a minute by myself.
I mean, you go through certain things that mothers have to cope with. But at least you went in the closet so the
right.
baby didn't see you.
But she's maintaining a sense of humor because she's laughing.
That's right. That's what we have to do. But, you know, remember that everybody goes through certain things like that. But you really do have to be so positive around the children and let them know that they are loved. And you don't say, well, I wish I hadn't had you. You know, sometimes parents get that way.
That's right. Well, as Pam was saying earlier, that she had a positive network of people around her, and that's kind of what Melinda Olemiller is saying here in the article, is that their role in this Nurses for Newborns is to lift up these mothers in their parenting role. So it's to encourage them and to give them the tools that they need to be good moms. Mm-hmm. So maybe they don't have a lot of positive people in their lives, but this particular organization can help with that.
Now, some of the men listening say, well, this is all for women. It has to do with men. But remember, the husband has an awful lot to do with whether the wife is feeling happy, too. So the men's part is to keep your wife feeling happy and positive. So this is also for you, men. And be in front of your kids. Let them know that the two of you together are there to support that child, and that the mother and father love each other and care for each other, so it's not just the women involved.
That's right, Doris, and it's important for us to remember the young dads feel overwhelmed at times too, because as Ruth said yesterday, we don't know immediately as soon as the babies are born how to be great parents.
Right.
It's a learning process for both the mom and the dads.
Right. So they're both involved in this. But anyway, this teaching the parents, it says teaching parenting strategies. So there must be some kind of strategy. Let's find out what that is. Let's take our last paragraph.
Teach parenting strategies. Some parents never got the nurturing they needed when they were young and have few parenting models, said John Constantino, a psychiatrist and researcher with WU's School of Medicine. These parents may not know the best ways to fully connect with their own children, particularly amid high stress. Constantino is managing a federally funded trial program in the St. Louis region to protect children from toxic stress. It uses a specialized parenting education program to train groups of parents with children enrolled in early Head Start programs. The program supplies good enough parenting tips and teaches praise as a first response. Ultimately, the strategies help parents better enjoy their parenting role, and their children's behavior improves, Constantino said. It makes parents more attuned to protect their kids from their stress, Constantino said.
Well, we're talking about parenting strategies. As we've mentioned a couple times before, being a parent is not innate, meaning it's not something that you automatically know how to do. Sometimes you need advice. So in order to help people be better parents, they teach them how to do it. Because some parents never got the nurturing they needed when they were young. They never
That's
had
true.
The models mm-hmm. they needed.
That's true.
And I like that verb. Ruth, you know, you can raise a child, you can go out and you can work hard and you can provide a lot of material things, but this is what's important. You need to raise a child with love and care. That means to nurture your children.
You know, nowadays, even people that are not poor, that have enough money, they just hire somebody to take care of the child, and they don't see them that often, but they don't fully connect with their children. And I think children need that connection with their parents as much as they need all the money of the new clothes and things. Don't buy them all these things. Be with them. That's very
right.
important.
Well, oftentimes you hear about mother and baby bonding or father and baby bonding, and that's what it means, is to allow the child to get to know you and to trust you, to build that positive relationship. And without that from the very beginning, you know, you can't build that when they're a teenager. It's got to start
right.
when they're a baby.
Well, even if something terrible happens, even if the dad and mom together, and the dad will even pick up the baby and say, oh, that's all right, we'll take care of you, dear, don't worry about it. And this kind of a thing takes away the stress. Now, the father might not know what he's going to do, but he could give that child assurance that he's going to take care of it.
Right. And because some of these families in this particular area have not had good parenting models, meaning they haven't seen what good parenting looks like, that's why they're helping them with these different parenting strategies, because parents may not know the best way to fully connect, to have that bond with their kids, particularly when there's a lot of stress around from poverty or abuse or violence.
That's right. And Ruth just gave us the observation from this psychiatrist, John Constantino, and he's involved with this government or federally funded trial program in St. Louis.
Right. And St. Louis is an area that has a lot of people who perhaps don't have jobs or something like that. And
yeah, we can say the area itself is depressed because
right.
the economy is not very good there.
But, I mean, any place in the world, you know, but they use specialized parenting education, and they train groups of parents with the children that are enrolled in this early Head Start programs, so when the kids go to school, they won't feel that they're behind.
Exactly. And I think it's good that this program is not just for the young children. It involves the entire family. Mm-hmm. So the child is learning the skills that it needs to succeed in school, and they're also helping the parents with strategies to be good parents.
Well, and one of the strategies it says here is to teach praise as the first response. Praise the kid. Don't say, you're no good, you're not going to make it, or you know, whether it's a boy, a baby, or a child who's a little bit older, they need praise, don't they?
Oh, that is so important, Doris. And if some of these young parents have come out of violent homes or abusive homes or just negative, were a negative environment at home, then they don't want to go back to what they know. They want to change that approach. Instead of being negative with their own children, the psychiatrist and the social workers want to help them be positive parents.
That's right. And that is not easy. It takes time, and it takes someone around you to support you in that change, because it's so easy to do things the way you've seen them done. In other words, to raise your children in the way that you were raised. So you have to make a conscious decision not to be that way. So it's great that they have these classes, these specialized parenting education programs, to help these parents break that cycle.
And when that does happen, then the children's behavior improves, he said. And it makes the parents are more attuned to protect their kids from stress. They realize it's important, and they realize it's up to them to do it. So that's a good program. But what can we all learn from this?
I like the sentence, Doris. It says, this program supplies good enough parenting tips. In other words, these parents don't have to be perfect. They need to know how to be good enough.
That's right.
To be good parents.
I think everyone has to learn to fully connect with their children, not just feed them or just pay for their school. Fathers and mothers have to connect, do things with them, play games with them, go on walks with them. Don't just pay somebody to take care of them and say, well, I paid for everything for you. It's not all about that.
No, because just providing for your child is only one small part of being a parent. You have to spend time with the child to develop that bond.
Connect.
Because that bond, that connection, is what is going to help them through their entire life. And also, if you don't have a good relationship with your child as a baby, you're not going to have one when they're a teenager.
And you'll never be able to help them. You say, I didn't know. How come my child was like that? A lot of it's your own fault. So connect with the children. Remember, it's very important when you're going to have a baby to think of all these things ahead of time and start before birth and always connect and be positive and have a good sense of humor.
And these are things, Doris, that you can do with your child whether you have a lot of money or not. Right. You can set a positive tone in your home.
Absolutely. You want to be a positive influence on your children.
So not only learn this yourself, pass it on to your kids and your friends and talk about it and see how you can take away the stress of the parenting and see how you can help bond more so that the children in your community and your family have this good bonding together and we'll have a better country and a better world.
That's right.
So thanks for being with us today, and thank you for being on the panel with us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye, listeners. Thanks for joining us.
Goodbye.